You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, everyone. A warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Betting Podcast. Good to have you with us. Dave Kellner, Mike Grenham and Dave Tindall all here for one of the biggest weeks of the sporting season as far as golf is concerned. It's the US Open Championship from Erin Hills starting on Thursday afternoon. We're not going to talk about last week, not because we had limited success last week, just because this is such a huge championship. We're going to get straight stuck into the betting. First of all, a warm welcome to Mike Grenham, who joins me here.
Afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon to you, Dave Tindall.
Hi, Dave.
Looking forward to this. Let me spin you through the betting here with William Hill, first of all. Dustin Johnson is the 8-1 favourite for the US Open. Rory McIlroy, 12-1. Jason Day is 14s, along with Jordan Spieth. John Rahm is 22s. Ricky Fowler, 22-1. Justin Rose and Sergio Garcia, both 25s. And it's 33-1 and bigger the remainder. Erin Hills, the host for this championship. It's a different puzzle for players and punters most years. And that's not going to change as they set up, the USGA set up Erin Hills for this year's US Open. And Dave, it is tough for punters because we've only seen this golf course once and never in professional play. That was the 2011 US Amateur Championship. So it's difficult to know what players are going to be suited and how the course is going to play throughout the 4 days.
Yeah, we can only go on best guesses. I always read through the transcript of the pre-tournament press conference that Mike Davis gives, because he tends to call it quite well. He's kind of saying it, an all-round game is important this week, which did make me look at the all-around stats as a kind of first point of call. So other things, it seems like a wind is quite prevalent at this course. Mm. And I always bang this drum that I think driving distance is much more, is underrated in this tournament. You look at some of the winners of this event, Dustin Johnson, maybe Woods, Angel Cabrera. Who would have thought that they would be US Open winners, really? People would have said, oh, they're too wild off the tee. And yet time and time again, big hitters do well in this event.
Yeah, they do. They do indeed. Mike, the look of the golf course, it looks like a links test, given there's no, very few trees on the layout. But from what I've read and from pre-tournament interviews with Rory McIlroy, it doesn't sound like it's going to play like a links championship.
No, it's that Mike Davis that Dave's referencing says it's a heartland course. So there will be wind, I think, and there aren't many trees. But it's not quite a link setup. I don't know. It's from what we hear. Obviously, I've never been there. And I don't remember that 2011 US Amateur very well. Do you? No. You say we've seen it before, but
I don't recall seeing it.
No, I don't remember much of it. So yeah, it's as always, it's a fascinating event. I'd side with DT a little bit there in that driving distance is always seemingly more important than one expects at a US Open.
And we often talk about the pressure or a player's ability to handle the pressure of a major championship. Mm. But it's on the USGA this year to a certain extent to create a fair test for the players. Mm. And after recent years, that's by no means guaranteed. The handling of Dustin Johnson's supposed rule infraction last year, Chambers Bay, that set up in 2015. Yeah, so what about Erin Hills? It's the sort of test that's been described as fair in the lead up. Are you looking at a sort of player that, because it's not a traditional US Open test in many ways, is it? Not like Congressional or Bethpage Black. It looks a bit different. It looks more like a Chambers Bay or a Whistling Straits.
It does, Dave. It does. And then you've got around the greens. It's a bit more like Pinehurst, isn't it? So it's kind of it's. Look, I think it'll be a fascinating challenge, and we'll have to see. I have a theory that previous US form isn't quite, US Open form possibly isn't quite as important, because it is a bit of a different challenge. So I'm going for a couple of guys who don't have much US Open experience. But until it gets underway, we're making educated guesses rather than knowing. But they speak well of it, all the players that have been there, and it looks beautiful. So it should be interesting.
Yeah, I've enjoyed some of the pre-tournament ramblings from some of the players, especially Kevin Na's assessment of the fescue rough, where he's put an Instagram post out. But that fescue, I mean, these are the widest fairways we're going to ever see at a US Open. The only reservation you've got with the fescue rough is whether or not it is thicker and more lush closer to the fairway than miles off the fairway. And it's that old case of missing big is not necessarily detrimental.
Yeah, like Phil Mickelson has sort of missed big before. He misses so far wide, doesn't he? He's beyond the sort of
trampled down
bits, by the crowd. Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay.
I've got two picks.
Ditto.
Dave Tindall?
Well, I've got three.
Okay.
Go first.
You lead us off.
Well, I'll sort of talk you through how I've arrived at this. I mentioned before about Mike Davis and saying I like all around average scoring average. Other stats I've looked at, scoring average, bogey avoidance. This is a US Open. You've got to keep the bogeys away as much as you can. For the first time since 1992, I believe, it's a four par fives, par 72. So I've looked at the par five stats. I think they're more important relatively this year. Scrambling around those greens, the shaved runoff areas, I think that suits a truer scrambler. You're not just taking potluck with a hack from deep grass around the greens. Greens in reg is always important in the US Open. And I've looked at driving distance. And the one who's just really high up on all those stats is Ricky Fowler. So I can't get away from Ricky Fowler. He's top of the all-around. So
did you look at triple bogey avoidance for Ricky Fowler?
Yeah.
Because he has had a nasty habit of throwing in a big number, hasn't he?
He can do that, as can Jordan Spieth, obviously. Or quadruple bogey avoidance with him, maybe. But Fowler, top of the all-around, third in scoring average, 15th bogey avoidance, fourth in par fives, 22 scrambling, 29th greens in red, can whack it off the tee, 33rd driving distance. All good things. I think another nice pointer is form at Memorial. That seems to, you look at recent US Open wins, a lot had played really well at Memorial just a few weeks earlier. Mm. Fowler did that, came second. I really don't care that he missed the cut at the St Jude. In fact, I was quite glad he did because he just got away from there Friday night, can prepare for this better. He's played so well for large parts of this year. And I just like him. I just think you look at US Open wins, I just think they're sort of, you get a lot of big hitting, really talented players. Maybe players, you know, maybe like McIlroy, maybe you think, oh, the Masters is the one they'll win first. But sometimes it seems to be the US Open that lands first in their laps. I did see a stat as well tweeted by Justin Ray from the Golf Channel who said, the last three times a major venue has been used for the first time, so that would have been Chambers Bay, Kiewa Island, Torrey Pines, you got really elite winners, Spieth, McIlroy, Woods. Mm. So I think maybe this new course might just play out again and you'll get a big star name winning.
Ricky Fowler, 22-1, Dave's headline selection. Mike?
I'm going for Justin Thomas, who I batted at Memorial, who was fourth there. He's been in very good form this year and indeed has seven top tens in his last 15 events, which is pretty decent going. Wins at the SBS, the Sony and the CIMB this season. He's lacking in experience in the US Open and last year's 32nd was his best from two outings in the event, Mr. Cook, about 3 years ago. He has played the course in 2011 at that much-remembered US amateur event that we all loved.
Maybe I overplayed that slightly.
Yeah, but just interesting to note that those wins in Hawaii that he's got, Kapalua particularly, is a windy track, isn't it? And if it's windy here, which it could well be at this exposed venue this week, I think that will stand in his favour. He's top for par 4 scoring average and 19th for par 5 scoring average on tour. And all the stats that I'm interested in, particularly strokes tee to green, he's 8th. Approaching the green, he's 4th. And putting, he's a nice 29th. And he hits it a long way as well. He's 11th for driving distance. Really good approach on the approaches from just over 100 and over 200 yards. Those two quite key metrics. He's first on both those, 100 to 225, 200 to 225 yards. He's in very good form. He's obviously not contended in a major, so that's a little bit of a question mark against him. But I really like the cut of his jib, and I think that this week could be his time to challenge in at the top level. Mm. 33-1. And we must say that we think there'll be some push-outs in the prices tomorrow, as they usually are at William Hill on Wednesday before the major.
Yep.
But 33-1's appealing to begin with, but I might hang on till tomorrow, see if there's a bit of 40s about on him. But I like his chance a lot.
33-1 at the moment. Justin Thomas is Mike's first pick. I'm going with Shane Lowry as my first selection here. He's currently 70-1, but do bear in mind what Mike's just mentioned about the odds. I think Europeans will do pretty well around this golf course, and Lowry strikes me as a fair bet at 70-1. Took him a long time to get over his US Open loss last year, and whether he'll be able to cope with those memories flooding back this year remains to be seen. There's little doubt that he's rounding into form pretty nicely. Loose tee shot on the back nine on Sunday halted his challenge at Wentworth, but he still picked up a nice check there, finishing in a tie for sixth. And then he showed his game was in good order with a tie for 15th at the Memorial, something that you've just mentioned, Dave, has been a significant factor coming into this week. He's played four US Opens, so has the experience. Finished tied for 9th and 2nd in his last two US Open starts. And I think there's going to be a lot of imagination needed around these greens. And that's where he excels, Shane Lowry. So I thought 70-1 was fair on Shane Lowry. So he's my first pick. Dave?
Yeah, he was on my shortlist.
Yeah, you've got
him there. Yeah, he's very high on my shortlist.
Yeah.
But didn't quite make it, but obviously I endorse what you say.
And just to go back to something you were saying about Kapalua, I think if you're looking for course correlations this week, Augusta National, Kapalua, those tough green complexes with wide fairways. And these, I don't think you can understate the importance of these fairways being the widest we've seen on the US Open layout.
This could be a second shot track.
It could be a second.
Which most of those are. I agree.
Dave?
Second pick for me is Paul Casey.
Okay.
At 55-1. Yeah. I've got him at, which is a nice price. Again, he's ticking a lot of the good stats that I'm looking at. Decent on the all-around 35th. He's basically 35th out of like 200 and the top 15% maybe. 15th scoring average. He's 4th in bogey avoidance. 5th. These are the two I like. He's 7th for greens in reg. So he hits a lot of greens anyway. But then he's 5th in scrambling if he does miss them. So I think that's why, you know, he's high up that scoring average chart because he does get the ball in the hole.
The putter holds him back, doesn't it, I think?
It does hold him back, and he is down on that. But if you look, I think you look at his last five tournaments, he's actually got a plus strokes gain putting figure.
Okay.
So it's like it's turning around a bit. I think these greens are good. They seem to be getting good reviews. They're proper, fast
greens. They do get good reviews, don't they? Yeah, they do, yeah.
And I think he'll like that. I mean, he was on immaculate, talking of immaculate greens, he was 6th at the Masters this year, which, you know, he likes. He likes that kind of test. He likes the quick greens. 10th at Colonial last time. I like a player who's got some good recent form. I don't think you can find your game at a US Open. I want you in form now. So he was 10th at Colonial and everything in between from the Masters to Colonial, 12th and 22nd. So he's been playing well for a lot of many months this year. And he said at the start of the year, he just seemed very happy in life. We saw Sergio how sort of contentment off the course had a big effect. I think Paul Casey's expecting a second baby, or his wife is, and everything seems in a good place for him. He hasn't got the greatest of US Open records, but Mike said earlier, you do move it around. So it's like if he had a series of poor results at Augusta, you think, well, it's something about that course, but this is a new test for everyone. He's played well in sort of wide, you think of him winning in China, these sort of wide open, sort of windy tracks. I think he's going to have a big event this week, and 55, anything north of 50, I thought was a really nice price on him.
Paul Casey, 55-1, Dave's second selection. Mike?
Another European for me, David. Thomas Peters is my pick, who I picked in the Masters, and he I think I give him a strong mention. I don't know if I actually picked him, but I backed him anyway, and he got placed and he was fourth. In his last five individual stroke play events, his last six individual stroke play events, he's been in the top five 3 times and 4 times in the top 14 out of his last 6. So he's in banging good form. That 4th at Augusta, 5th in the Mexican event, 2nd at Genesis, 14th at Wentworth, which was a little bit disappointing because he was playing quite well there. He hits it a mile, this fella, obviously, and both my picks are long hitters. One interesting thing.
So are you putting a lot on that this week then?
I think it's important. Yeah,
It's a big property, isn't it?
It's very long. The fairways are wide, so if you can belt it a long way, I think if you can hit it a long way and you go into the rough, you're nearer the greens, aren't you? I think that's the key thing with the US Opens.
Yeah.
It's the fact that if you do get into trouble, you're nearer the green.
Yeah.
I think that's how I look at it anyway.
And you presume because they do it a long way, they're strong, so they can get out of
the thicker rough better than some of the other guys. That's why I like about Casey's, you know, them sort of Popeye forearms.
Yeah, they can give it a bit. Yeah, absolutely. They're just longer in all the ways round. Now, look, Pete hasn't played a lot on the US Tour this year, so he's on the stats. He doesn't actually appear on many of the stats. He's not got a ranking, in other words.
Yeah.
But if he had, he'd be third for a shots approaching the green, which I think might be the most important stat this week. It's kind of like an upgraded version of greens in regulation, this one, isn't it? It's your second shot. He'd be 14th for strokes gained putting, and he'd be 20th for strokes gained total. So they're very interesting stats. It's his debut. It's his first time in a US Open. But no one's played this track in a major before. Few of the guys have played it in the US Amateur. He was 4th in his debut at Augusta. 52-1 for a player of his ability is eye-catching, I think. He'll hit it a long way. He puts well. And he's beginning to cut. He's really beginning to thrive in America. His finishes there are looking very interesting in America and Mexico, to be fair.
Yeah, I like it. 50-1, Thomas Peters is Mike's second pick. I'm going for a massive outsider as my second selection. I'm going with Hideto Tanihara as my second pick.
Didn't see that one coming, if I'm being honest.
He's 250-1 in this, and obviously going to take just a small chance on him this week. And obviously he plies his trade on the weak Japanese tour, so all the form over there has got to be taken with a pinch of salt. But I really
pinch
like
sushi.
Pinch of sushi. I really like his swing, and you've got to sit up and take notice with a couple of his performances away from the Japanese tour. Made the semi-final of the WGC Match Play, and impressed with the way he performed at Wentworth, finishing a tie for third. He opened with a 76 there and had a 9 in the first round, so came back well, got a really level head, and those two top-class fields, that Accenture Match Play tournament and the field at Wentworth as well, I think he feels at home on the big stage, Hideto Tanihara, and it wouldn't surprise me if he outperformed his odds this week, so 250-1, Hideto Tanihara is
my... That's a sporting pick that day.
Yeah, sporting pick at a huge price. I'll obviously lessen the stake there.
Are you going to go each way on him, or are you going to do something like a win in top 10? Or...
Yeah, I was planning on going each way, but I definitely look at the top 20 finish as well, just for him to... He's 8-1 to finish inside the top 20, which I think is very fair as well.
I don't know if you guys agree with me on this, but I looked at the bottom end of this market, and there are lots of like club pros, as you know, the usual kind of. It's a long tail, isn't it? You know, you go to the bottom 20 or 30 in the market, and it's not, you know, as always in the US Open, there's a little bit of a tail off, to say the least. So that makes bets like top 20s more appealing, I think.
I agree. And
just a thought.
Yeah, definitely worth checking out those top 10 and top 20 markets. Dave, you've got one more pick, haven't you?
Yeah, just on Mike's point, I fancy the couple of players. Oh, these would be good odds. They're not even in the field. Like Tony Finau and Kyle Stanley. I was looking for them because
they were doing
well on my stats. They're not even in it. So, because they're not in it, they're replaced by sort of guys down the bottom end who aren't going to challenge. So, third pick. A little bit further down the odds, 60-1 he is now, Louis Oosthuizen.
Yeah.
I just think he's an ideal US Open kind of man. I think a big thing with the US Open, you look at all the winners, they're very cool head. I think maybe when Ernie Els won and then Retief Hoosen won, they're just kind of switched off, aren't they? They're calm as you like. So that really planted the thought in my head that you do need someone with a really cool demeanour in Oosthuizen, and you wouldn't have a clue, would you, whether he's made bogey or birdie. He's just a very cool, relaxed guy. Really good record in the majors. He's obviously won the Open, finished runner-up again the Open, finished runner-up at Augusta, finished runner-up in this event at Chambers Bay when he started, I think, with a 77, didn't he? Came from way, way back
to
finish runner-up. So he's done it at this level. Talking of, maybe mentioning a lot of second places now, like he's got second-itis, but 60-1, I'll take second place.
Yeah.
He was runner-up at the Players' Championship just a few weeks ago, which is another good sign. Follow that with top 20 at the Byron Nelson. So lots of good form from Louis Oosthuizen. Good scrambler. He's 18th in scrambling. Good for bogey avoidance, as you might expect from someone with a calm temperament. He's basically good on all the stats I've looked at. Can get it out there as well. I just think he's a good price. I think he's a good bet for this event. We expect him wind. He's obviously grew up at Mossel Bay in South Africa. It's one of the things that was asked when he won at St Andrews that time, how come you're so good in the wind? Well, I grew up on the coast. So he really handles wind well. And I know it isn't a links course, but it's got that open feel to it. And the runoff area is maybe a bit like St Andrews. You know, you can sort of putt from off the green, land it short. And obviously he won at St Andrews and finished runner-up 5 years later in 2015. Yeah. So yeah. I think he's got the game for this, and it's a good price.
Fair play.
60-1, Louis Oosthuizen is Dave's third and final selections. That's all the picks out of the way. Just before we go into the supporting markets, honourable mentions.
I was massively close to doing John Rahm, Dave, for a whole host of reasons, and I just think he'll go very well. I might have to have a saver on him. He ticks a lot of the boxes of, you know, he's long, you know.
If it comes down to total driving, he's going to be in contention,
yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, and I know he missed the cut last time out, but he's been ever such good form. Again, you know, I might be wrong on this, but I'm hoping the experience of the event isn't that important. And of course, he's got no experience either, you know, in the event. I think he played last year. Was he 23rd or something last year? I'm checking. Yes, he was 23rd. So he's only played one US Open, but I think he'll go very well. He's a real talent, and at 22-1, he's got to be interesting. If the course is trickier than we expect, you might argue that some of the more experienced players like Garcia, some of those old heads who can keep their calm and hit really good real good ball strikers, Garcia and Scott would be people that I'd be looking at. So I'll be watching very closely in running to see whether it is more of an older heads course.
I think that's the fascination, isn't it? I think just whether or not these young guys with limited experience can contend, or it's going to be a more traditional US Open where you get a lot of the older heads and the experienced players coming to the fore.
And I've gone for the former, but I'm not going all in, because again, this is yet another major where historically being close to the lead after the first round is very, very helpful. It's hard to come from far back in a US Open. So I'm definitely, as I always seem to say, is at every major these days, but I'm going to save some of my stakes back to see, definitely after round one, whether the likes of Garcia or Scott, whoever, you know, that it catches the eye, you know, whether those more experienced guys might feature more now, I'm saying.
One thing on that, the last 10 winners, 5 in the 20s, 5 in the 30s, so perhaps goes against the idea that you need to be a sort of wise old head.
Yeah.
So young guys have come out and won this event.
Yeah.
Which is good for Peters and Thomas, obviously.
But it is a different course, so I take your point entirely. I think it's always worth a major where historically you've got to start well to save a little bit of your stakes. But there's nothing worse than having two players who bomb out in the first round and then you've nothing left to play with. So you've got to be close to the lead here usually, in this event, not at Erin Hills.
I like Jordan Spieth of the market leaders personally. I have tipped him the last two times he's played, so it would be frustrating if he won. But you look at all those courses that I think might correlate, Kapalua, winner there, Augusta, winner there. He's been high up in the strokes gained approaching the green in his last two starts. Played there in 2011 as well. Reportedly loves the course. Just whether or not he's putting well enough at the moment. His putting hasn't been as sharp. It was decent at Colonial, but not as decent at Memorial last time he played. So I think he'll go very well this week, Spieth. I think he'll like the wide open fairways as well.
Yeah, when I went through Spieth's stats, it was like good, 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 good. And then I got to scrambling, and he's 124th in scrambling. How's that possible?
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, very weird.
It's funny, because we've talked about it maybe being a course where you can use a bit of imagination around the greens and good scramble. But then you think about Pinehurst and Martin Kaymer winning, and that's because he wasn't very good at chipping the ball and scrambling, and he could just wield the putter.
Yeah.
That was key to his success. So it will be intriguing to see whether it's the guys that aren't as confident chipping and can just put the ball from 30 yards off the green, or whether or not the brilliant scramblers are going to come to the fore.
Yeah, Thomas, sorry to interrupt there. Thomas is low on the scrambling, but as with Spieth, he is top 50 for strokes gained around the green.
Yeah, there seems to be quite some discrepancies between those two stats.
You know, that's just worth mentioning, but Jason Day's top of that stat, by the way, the SG around the green, so he could go well this week.
That's surprising.
You've got to go with this nowadays. You've got to go with the strokes gained over.
I prefer them now.
You've got to because they're more analytical, aren't they? And I think they give you a better idea of what facet of a game or what facet of the player's game is in good order nowadays than scrambling, and I think they are more archaic, those stats, scrambling and greens in regulation.
Yeah, I don't tend to use the greens in regulation so much anymore. It's a shame that the European Tour are nowhere near getting strokes gained stats that I can see anyway.
Yeah, I don't think we've got any. They don't even do stats for the tournaments anymore, do they, at the moment?
No, it's a struggle.
Yeah, so hopefully that will improve as time goes on.
Just a quick point on that Pinehurst reference. Everyone's saying, oh, similar shaved off runoff areas. And I was thinking, well, just because you played well at Pinehurst, it doesn't necessarily mean you scrambled well there, does it? Because I think that's kind of the difference. So if you played well at Pinehurst, that's a great kind of pointer. But like Keegan Bradley was tied fourth at Pinehurst, but he was 50th in scrambling that week. Mm. So he didn't play well because he scrambled well there.
If you're hitting all the greens, you don't need to scramble. Yeah. It's this clear message.
Yeah, Keimer, the presumption was he must have scrambled. Well, he was first in scrambling at Pinehurst. Fowler was 13th, was pretty good at Pinehurst. Jason Day, 6th at Pinehurst for scrambling. Dustin Johnson, 5th for scrambling at Pinehurst. So maybe those guys do play well when it's the shaved runoff areas.
Okay. Any others what do you want to mention?
Well, Brooks Koepka is another one who played well at mentioning Pinehurst, segues into that. He was tied 4th at Pinehurst. He's just very, very good at majors, Brooks Koepka. You look at his record, it's... Although perhaps you've not thought of him as contending one down the stretch, but he's top 20 and I think tied 11th at Augusta. Just plays them really well. Mm. He could go well. He's just got a few iffy stats that slightly put me off. 180th in bogey avoidance. But I think he's someone who... His mind can wander when he's out of contention, but when he's on it, I think he can run up a big sort of burst of birdies. I think we saw it in the last US Open. He can go really well. Hits it a mile. I think this course should suit him. And I think he played it in that now infamous 2011 US Amateur.
45 to 1 45 to 1 if you fancy Brooks Koepka. Supporting markets. We always talk about the supporting markets. Yep. There's lots of them for the US Open. I've actually got a couple of bets that like in the supporting markets. Anyone else?
No, I haven't. But fire away and I'll give you... I'm happy to... have a view on yours.
Okay. I'm going in the top US market. I like Kevin Chappell. Admittedly, I know that it's a very competitive market, but Chappell's 28-1 in that market, and we're betting a quarter of the odds, 1, 2, 3, and 4. And he's just playing solidly at the moment. Always liked a tough test. Finished third in his first ever US Open, and backed that up with a tie for 10th in the following US Open in 2012. Just solid throughout the bag. He might not putt well enough to win, but played superbly at the Masters to finish in a tie for 7th, and subsequently won his first title in Texas. Can control the ball if the wind becomes a factor, and comes into this on the back of that 4th place at the FedEx St. Jude. I still think he's maybe slightly underrated, Kevin Chappell, so I like him at 28-1, each way to be the top United States player. And the other market that I like, I think this might be my favourite bet, this one.
You've convinced me with it. I think it's become my new favourite bet.
Top Swede. I like David Lingmuth a lot at 5-1 in this market. There's only 4 players in the market. Henrik Stenson is one of them at 8-11. Alex Noren is the other one at 15-8. And you can pretty much, fatal last words, but disregard Daniel Chopra at 25-1.
No, I don't know.
I want to take on Stenson in this market. He's understandably at the top of the betting, but this has never been a major that suited him best. And he's not been striking it brilliantly recently. He's not been speaking positively about his game. I'm not sure he's completely on it at the moment, Stenson. So I want to take him on at 8-11. Noren is much tougher to disregard, obviously, because he's transformed his game and the course could suit. But that big win at Wentworth was followed with a slightly lacklustre performance. And his major record is still nothing at all to write home about. He's only got 1 top 10, and that came at the Open. He's missed 3 of 4 cuts at the US Open. And that leaves us with David Lingmuth, who I think is a fair bet at 5s. He's played in 2 US Opens, finished top 20 on both occasions. The tougher the golf course is, the more he enjoys it. He's finished tied for 12th at the USPGA. That was back at Whistling Straits in Wisconsin in 2015. And he comes into this with 3 top 20s in his last 4 starts on the PGA Tour. Most recently, finishing tied for 12th at the Dean and DeLuca, and tied for 15th at Memorial.
Yeah, and he's won Memorials, and we've said that's a good sort of pointer event with the wide fairways and fast greens.
Yeah, so 5-1.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, so I like him in that top Swede market. Admittedly, are you liking Noren? Or do you think Stenson's going to go well this week?
I think it could all go well, I think if someone had said to me, you have to have a bet, I get you, it probably would be the one I'd bat, but you could see Stenson and Noren playing well as well, couldn't you, I think? I did have Lingmuth on my long list, if you like. So, yeah, no, I get it. I totally get it. He's a very solid player.
And we have got hashtag Your Odds available, so you can tweet your bet into at William Hill to get your odds on the William Hill website. There's a couple already on there at the moment, Dave, and there's one that you quite like.
Yeah, I'm sure Mr. Grenham will like it as well, given his mentions for John Rahm and Justin Thomas. The bet is, it's a hashtag Your Odds, John Rahm, Justin Thomas and Dustin Johnson all to finish in the top 10.
16-1?
16-1. I mean, Mike's made the case for Rahm. Mm. I'm slightly put off backing him to win because I think at some point he might throw in a bad run of holes and get a bit of a Mardy on, and like we've seen him before, but still be good enough to finish in the top 10.
Yeah.
Justin Thomas, I really like this week. He's probably the next one off my list outside the three I picked.
Yeah.
And then Dustin Johnson, I mean, well, number one.
Yeah.
Should have won the last two US Opens, won one of them, obviously. Yeah, he's had a slight dip since Augusta, but you look at what's, we think is the requirement on this course, all of par fives, wide open fairways, a bit windy, everything points to him doing well on this track.
Yeah.
So I think 16-1 for those three to all get a top 10.
People were like, all of those, we're looking at those, aren't we, David's? And
the second one I really like, actually.
Louis Oosthuizen and Kevin Chappell to finish top 20 at 20s.
That's two of our picks, isn't it? Dave's gone for Chappell, I've gone for Oosthuizen.
Day is a very good US Open player, isn't he? Yeah. He's back in form. Yeah.
I think he's finished top 20 in the last four US Opens, hasn't he, Jason Day? Yeah. So I like that one at 20-1 as well.
We could have a team point on that one.
Yeah, the top 20 one, I do like that.
And the last one is McIlroy, Spieth and Fowler top 10 at 20s again. So people will fancy all of those, won't they, I would guess.
We've not spoken much about McIlroy coming back from injury, first start back. Is he going to be slightly undercooked?
So hard to know, Dave, isn't it? It really is. What is he now? He's 12-1, is he today?
Yes, he is. He's actually been quite well backed. I wouldn't be surprised if I spoke to the compilers if he's the one they've come for most.
Yeah. He does look a big price for him, doesn't it? And again, he might be another one that's pushed out a little bit on Wednesday morning, so he could tempt people in. It's just that break worries me a little bit, but it'd be no surprise to see him figuring, would it?
No, 12-1 if you fancy Rory McIlroy. That brings us to the end of the podcast.
Well, I just a couple of outsiders to mention, Dave. Benny Ann could play well this week, I think. And what price is Jason Duffner?
Jason Duffner is currently 66-1, Jason Duffner.
Yeah, those guys are just a couple of outsiders. I mean, look, it's going to be fascinating to see how it all pans out at this new course. But I just thought that Benny Ann, I'll back him possibly as well. Duffner, I'll just keep an eye on because he's back in form. He's got decent US Open form.
Yeah, I think that's the most astonishing win this season, his win at Memorial.
I
think how he won with that, the way he was putting.
The third round, he was...
Oh, my... You know, he shot 4-under, I think, for the final round, 3 or 4-under for the final round, and I thought he was going to miss every time he was out. Well, every time he was inside 5 feet and outside 1 foot, basically.
Well, he's
also, his danger zone.
He's also 125th in strokes gained around the green, so I think that might catch up with him.
Yeah, but absolutely. But if you're hitting it very close to the hole and not needing it,
that's what he did at Memorial. I mean, some of his ball striking in the first two rounds was just blistering.
It's a fascinating mix of different skill sets here, isn't it? If you can get away with it, if you're good enough to get away with missing the green, gives you a bit of extra chance. But if you're hitting every green, you don't worry so much.
Absolutely. Dave?
I'll just... This strange logic of a golf punter. If Sergio had maybe lost or come like fifth at Augusta, I'd probably back him here because he's got a great US Open record. All his stats point to another big week, but you feel like, well, he's used his one up. He can't win it again.
Of course he can. I think he's got a big chance. I really do. After Rahm, he'd have been the last. He's playing really solid.
I can't see him winning it. I can see him going really well. But
I'll mention that the words Mark and O'Meara to you, who did exactly that, didn't he? And then won another one.
There was a gap of one.
But won two majors in.
Well, funnily enough, when we get to the Open podcast, I might put Sergio up for that. Just back to back. I looked at Tiger only won the Masters and the US Open in the same year once in his career.
Harrington, did he win two majors on the trot out of nowhere?
He did, the back end. And Spieth, to be fair, won the Masters US Open. It can be done, but it's rare.
He's kind of, I think, I won't say he's taken it easy since he won the Masters, but this will have been what he's been aiming for since the Masters. I think he's a contender this week.
I think he's top five, but I just can't
quite see him winning.
Let's.
You didn't see him winning the US Masters, yeah, to be fair.
I didn't see that at all.
Let's recap the selections then for this week. Mike?
Well, I'm going for Justin Thomas and Thomas Peters. Then I should have picked someone called Peter Thomas. Yeah. A point each
way. Did they do the carry-on films?
Toot. Is that him? I don't know. 52 on Thomas. Not 52 on Thomas. 52 on Peters and 33 to on Thomas. But I'm hoping that those... So we think there'll be some push-outs on Wednesday morning from William Hill, so I'm hoping those two guys get pushed out. I'm saving something back for betting and running as well. Very important.
Very important, Dave?
Yeah, I'll have a point each way, Casey, at 55s. A point each way, Louis Oosthuizen at 60. And a point and a half each way, Ricky Fowler at 22s. Now, I'll take that hashtag your odds one on Rahm, Thomas and Dustin Johnson, all finishing top 10 at 16th point on that.
Yeah, I'm going at a point each way, Shane Lowry at 70-1, half a point each way, Hideto Tanihara at 250-1. And in the supporting markets, I'm going to go a point each way, Kevin Chappell, top US, at 28-1. And hopefully pay for the week with David Lingmuth being top Swede at 5-1, a point win on that. Do watch out for William Hill's pushes on Wednesday morning. There should be a few, hopefully, and get your bets on for the US Open Championship. And follow us all on Twitter as well, at M Grenham. You'll be tweeting running.
I'll definitely tweet during the tournament.
At D Kellner and at Dave Tyndall Golf. Check out all the golf betting markets on the William Hill website. We have got hashtag your odds, plenty of player markets as well. So check those all out by going to williamhill.com and clicking on the golf page. And myself, Mike and Dave will be back for a debrief after the US Open at Erin Hills next week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.